This Jeep Talk Show flagship episode is brought to you by RealTruck.com. With over 1 million plus parts and accessories for your Jeep, truck, and life. Life, that's amazing to me. Does your Jeep have any badges of honor? Stay tuned to learn more about it on RealSource. Hey, I'm Tony, and welcome to the Jeep Talk Show, where we put the fun in off-road fun. You know, Jamie, I used to say the F-U in fun, but I don't know. That kind of went over everybody's heads.
So, I like that.
So strap in, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready to laugh, learn, and have a damn good time. So on tonight's episode, in our news stories, Rivian is bribing Jeep owners. Can you believe it? I mean, that sounds pretty desperate to me. Yeah, that kind of, you know, Ford Bronco did this a while back that we reported on. So maybe it worked for him. Maybe that's why Rivian's doing it. So I think we all knew this was going to happen with interest rates, the economy, and I'm kind of wondering if there's another reason for this. Jeep is laying off in the next several months. They haven't said how many, but we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. In our Gladiator Jeep Gladiator update, can I fit 35s on my Gladiator? That's a very common question. You know what? What size tire can I fit on my Jeep Cherokee? That type of thing. And in your must-have stuff for your Jeep, Element Fire. And I think this is going to be something new to you, Jamie. I think you're going to like this.
I'm excited. I think this is going to be a fun night with us, Tony.
Mm-hmm, I think so, too.
Hey, everyone. I'm Jamie with Girls Play Off-Road, located in Pennsylvania. We are a nationwide group, and I'm a regular on Tuesday nights, Jeep Talk Show. It's the funnest night of the week is to spend with Tony and the boys.
And I'm glad you mentioned that. Tuesday night is our roundtable recording. Well, the roundtables come out on Wednesday, but we actually record it at 7:30 p.m. Central Time on a Zoom meeting. So we'll teach you more about that coming up, because we'd love to have you there. All right. So Rivian will pay you to Rivian will pay you to buy a Rivian if you are a Jeep owner. I don't know that it's worth it. And my question is, do you have to trade in the Jeep? I mean, can you keep the Jeep and still get the discount on the Rivian? I don't know.
Right. I don't know that there's enough money that they could offer me to trade in my Jeep. You know, like, I love my filthy beast. And to go into an all-electric, I don't know. That might be a really nice daily driver, you know, and I understand that people are wheeling them, but all of that electric and mud and water, you know, I love mud and water. I don't know. That would kind of freak me out a little bit.
Well, you know, Wendy's talked about them having a Rivian out on the trail, and she's been very impressed with it. And it has a off-road mode and apparently has some the suspension or the airbags or whatever will raise and lower the vehicle. So you get more clearance for off-roading. And
Yeah, that's pretty cool. There's a whole bunch of them that tend to go to Anthracite Outdoor Adventure area.
Oh, really?
Here. Yeah, there's lots of decal stickers that are all over the place for the Rivian Club. So they are getting popular in the Northeast. I have just yet to wheel with one of them. So that would be interesting.
Is there any way to charge them out there? I mean, I would think that would be range anxiety is always my concern about electric vehicle. I can always get somebody to go get me some fuel if I need it, but how do I get them to go give me a couple of kilowatts and bring it back?
Right. What do you do if you're in the middle of a trail? You know, like people have jerry cans with, you know, 5 gallons or whatever, you know, like, what do you do?
Exactly. I always tell people, if you see a Ford F-150 Lightning, you know, the electric version, on the side of the road with some jumper cables, don't stop, because you're going to be there charging him for charging his battery pack for 45 minutes to an hour.
That's been my concern. So if you're in a traffic, you know, so in New York, there's tons and tons of traffic. Mm-hmm. You're sitting in traffic and this thing runs down. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that an EV can be your primary vehicle. Now, if you're very close to your place of employment and the Walmart is within range, yeah. But I mean, Like we always say is, what if grandma's house is 500, 700 miles away? It's Thanksgiving, and you have to tell grandma, I'm sorry, grandma, we can't come. I can't bring the wife and the kids because we have an electric vehicle. We're not sure where we'd be able to charge up. We don't know if it says there's a charger there, but I don't know if it's going to be full or if it's working or so on and so forth.
Yeah, I was just looking for information on the survey. That would scare me. You know, mm-hmm. gas is still something that we need. You know, able to get it. It's easily accessible.
Yeah, they need gas to make these vehicles.
Like, is AAA going to be driving down the road with charging stations?
Big diesel generator.
But then we have to keep in mind what's charging all of those generators.
Right.
You know, we're getting rid of gas and we should get rid of coal. And mm-hmm. keep in mind, I live in the coal region. This is how so many of these families have survived out here. So let's get rid of that. But hello, the coal is what's doing the generation.
So I think that is a true inconvenient truth that nobody wants to admit, is that how do you make the electricity? And then the sad thing is that we have a way of limitless electricity, and we decided that we weren't going to go that direction because it's scary. It's the nuclear power plants. I think if EVs are going to be a true thing for the future, we're going to have to start building some nuclear power plants. Maybe not the really big ones, but the small neighborhood size ones that shut themselves down properly without having to have billions of dollars of infrastructure to make sure it doesn't melt down.
Right, you don't want another Chernobyl?
Or Hershey's, Pennsylvania. I mean, I thought that was so funny whenever there was a meltdown at Hershey's because, you know, the chocolate bar.
I'm an hour from there.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's in Pennsylvania, isn't it?
Yep. It's an hour from my house. It's an hour and five. It's great. It is a fun place to visit.
I and bet.
You do smell chocolate.
Yeah.
The park is beautiful. And they have educational rides when you go into the building, so you actually can learn how chocolate is made. And it's kind of neat. No matter how many times you go in, I feel like a little kid. I've been going there since I was in sleepaway camp at like 9 years old.
That sounds like that'd be a fun place to visit. I love Hershey's chocolate. I know there's chocolate snobs out there that say that's not chocolate, kind of like Olive Garden and Italian food. But I like it, damn it. And I like it with the almonds in it, you know, the almond chocolate bar. But anyway, circling back to the point, Rivian is going to pay you up to $5,000 if you are a Jeep, BMW, or Toyota owner. And it's not all models. It's some models of each one of those to take $5,000 off. But, I mean, I didn't look up, and they didn't say in the article how much the Rivians are. But, I mean, if let's say the Rivians are $50,000, which I think they're a lot more than that. $5,000 off would be, what, 10%? That's 10% off? And then if it's more than $50,000, then that percentage goes down lower and lower and lower. So at some point, you're paying the amount that you're getting off is less than the taxes that you'll have to pay.
Right. So, but you know what? So if you think about it, so if it's a $65,000 vehicle, let's just play with the numbers here. Mm-hmm. It's a $65,000 vehicle, and they're giving you $5,000 off. So you've got a $60,000 vehicle, but what you could buy a Jeep for still less than that, and exactly. Know that, you know,
you don't have range anxiety. It's not the cool, neat thing, I think is one of the reasons why. And I don't know if you follow the EVs at all, but I remember I follow the Tesla stuff because I'm a Tesla a stock owner. And, it went up like $17 today, a share. But it's gone down a lot here recently. But anyway, the thing I have heard because of the Tesla connection that I have, is that Rivian's having a really hard time and may not be around much longer, or if they are around, somebody else may be owning them. Nobody is able to make an electric vehicle and make a profit except Tesla.
Look, we're talking about Elon Musk. You can't compete with Elon Musk.
You would think somebody could.
He's one of a kind. You know, I'm a big fan. So it's imitation is the highest form of flattery, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
So, he came out with it, and everyone's trying to do it. They're not keeping up.
Well, let me ask you this. EVs, the government's been hyping them. News has been hyping them. Surely you've looked into it or thought about an electric vehicle just on a whim. I mean, maybe not seriously. But would an electric vehicle with a good 40-mile range daily, if you were driving 40 miles a day, maybe you get 250 out of a single charge, would that work for you? Would that be something that you could use? I mean, it really just depends on how far you got to drive every day, I think.
So where I am up in Pennsylvania, it's everything is about 35 miles from me.
Okay.
I'm up on a ridge. So it takes 35 minutes just to get off of the ridge. So to go most places, it's over an hour drive. Everything's about, it's about good 32 to 35 miles to get to most things. So that's I'm using 60 a whole
miles,
lot of
60, 70 miles around trip.
Right. So that's a whole lot of electricity. Then let's talk about, so up here, because it's, there's a lot of government subsidized people. Subsidies up here, there's a lot of poor people, people on welfare. So a lot of these people, I bought a house for $28,000 in Coal Township, total all in 28 grand. So rentals, a 3-bedroom, 1.5-bathroom house is $675. So if you think about it, these people can't pay their bills. The government is paying it. So those that can afford their electric, the electric is way high. To put this into, to have a charger connected to my house, it's going to, I don't know that I could afford it at that point, what my bills would become. So it's great that you want to offer me, a car. I gave it for me for free. I don't know that I'd be charging it. And I don't know that it would be practical up here.
Right.
I actually have not seen many charging places. I don't think I've seen one on the ridge for people to go and charge their vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I think magic is supposed to happen. Obviously, they're going to, I guess it's like cell towers. When they first started putting cell towers up, they put them in the most densely populated areas because that, the customers needed to have cell access, otherwise they weren't going to pay. So, I'm sure, and there wasn't gas stations so plentiful back whenever the automobile first came about. And I'm sure that those people had problems with range anxiety. How far can I go? But now it's been built out. We know that we can get fuel. I mean, you can just take off on a whim. You say road trip and everybody hops in the vehicle and you take off and you eat food you're not supposed to eat and you find gas wherever it is. it's just fun, but I don't think I would feel comfortable doing that in an electric vehicle. And even in a Tesla, I don't think that the infrastructure is there yet. And that means to me that the battery technology has to be a lot better. And of course, I harp on this every time, I'm going to circle back and say, electric vehicles are absolutely the future. It's just not now. It's in the future.
Well, it's also think about the cost to replace these batteries.
Yep, and the weight and the wear and tear on the tires because of the overall weight of the vehicle. There's several issues with it.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my gas-powered vehicle. I like my old things.
Are you ready?
It's time for the Jeep Talk Show with hosts Tony, Josh, Wendy, and Chuck.
All right, so I almost called you Wendy. I have a problem with that. I'll say the wrong names of people. I don't know if you feel this or not, but I always get a little nervous when I'm doing this, even though I've been doing it for a number of years, and I think that causes me not to be able to think as clearly as if I wasn't, being recorded and trying to perform.
Well, there's something about you that is very comforting. So where I tend to have tremendous social anxiety, just being with you, and Chip and I were talking about this, I've become very comfortable on your show.
Oh, thank you.
So
that is wonderful.
I can be my goofy self and, where I'm usually unfiltered. And I'm not worried about what's going to come out of my mouth because we tend to laugh at it or everyone. And, but you just have this way of making people feel very at ease.
Good. That is something that is wonderful to hear because that's not the way it's always been.
We have so much fun on Tuesdays.
Oh, it is. It is so much fun. So let me ask you, I think we forgot that there were women on the round table Tuesday. Did it get a little too blue after we ended the show?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay, good. I was worried about that.
At least, you know, so I had some of my girlfriends were on there, and we play hard, you know, and it's we slug it out with each other, and the comments are, you know, we there's no hold bars. Mm-hmm. So they're all used to it, and most people that listen in anytime I'm going live or I've got a reel going, they know that you never know what to expect. So I don't think anyone typically takes offense to most things that come out of my mouth or anyone else's mouths.
Yeah. Training. It's just my, the manners that I was taught is that you're supposed to act a certain way around ladies. And I know now is a different time, but I still worry about that. So whenever we were talking about stuff, and I think I said something, and you were like, okay, I got to go. It's like, oh no.
No. I was so tired because my day started at 7:15 and I think I jumped off last night at 10:45. Finally, I was just exhausted. But like Chip and I were talking about that he and I are like the Beavis and Butthead. He said rims.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I giggle, I laugh, and it's not, you know, that I'm embarrassed or anything. I'm so not, you know, prudish, but it's just, you know, like, the way it was coming out, it was funny.
Oh, those
tonight,
guys are
even
hilarious.
Getting my haircut done, we're trying to get my mohawk going, and I'm like, you have to squeeze it. And my barber goes, I was flicking it, and I just looked at him, and he knew exactly where I was going. I'm like, and so we just laughed. You
so
know?
So Chip and I have that same off-color humor, and it's either whenever we're on the show together, it's either I'm going to say it or he's going to say it. And I think he holds back sometimes to let me say it.
And then you have me.
Oh, it's great.
Three Stooges to jump in.
And I'm so glad. I guess that's one of the things is that I really would like more women on the round table. I like more women on the show because I want to make sure I don't think we're a stumbling block, but I think men can be a stumbling block to more women going off road. And there's no reason for that. There's no reason why women can't enjoy the same thing that the men do. And men have a tendency to make more of it, like it's more manly or more, it's harder, it's too hard for you type thing. And that's not the case. I mean, there's always going to be certain things that are more difficult for women than are for men. But if we're all out there, we could help one another.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and that's part of why I created Girls Play Off-Road. I was part of a different wheeling group, and I saw that there was not as large of a presence of females on the trails. And a lot of it is because it's a male-dominated, you know, hobby, mm-hmm. and the men kind of laugh at the women, they scoff at the women, and women are afraid to, you know, not be able to do something in front of a guy. So I started with a girls play day at AOAA, and this has built into something where it's a tremendous support for women. And then realizing that women have husbands or boyfriends or sons, and single dads have daughters, or even regular dads have daughters and girlfriends or whatnot, it became a family thing. And everyone's just supporting each other. The chatter that goes on our walkie-talkies or any of the radios, you would think it was a Tuesday night Jeep talk
exactly.
show. I mean, I have learned such things. We have one guy who will give you Urban Dictionary definitions. And so I've learned about different sex positions. I've learned different terminology for things that I never thought I would ever know, that I tend to blush. And we have a good time. You know, we just have a good time with it. We rib each other the entire way because, you know, you're wheeling with a group of people, but you're in your Jeep by yourself. You know, that's a scary thing, you know, and to be alone in your own head is a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to explain that, you know, as long as we have the radios, we're doing this together. This is empowering.
Right.
Let's have fun with it. Let's roll with it. Don't worry about what you say. Like, there's no stupid questions. If you get scared, we're going to get you through it, and we're going to laugh about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it, you know, just have fun.
So tell the folks, I mean, you said Girls Play Off-Road, which I'm sure people can do a search, but give people an idea where they can find out more about Girls Play Off-Road, where you are on the social media website, etc.
So Girls Play Off-Road is on Facebook. We are on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. YouTube, I'm starting to build up. Tony, you've been a great mentor on that. So, and through E3 Off-Road, they've gotten me to do videos. So we're working on that. My YouTube will be getting a little bit better as I get more comfortable.
Don't give up. It's it gets easier once you get it down. And I don't know what you're using for editing software, if anything, but I highly recommend DaVinci Resolve. It's free and it's very powerful.
That's awesome. I'm writing that down right now.
So while you're writing that down, let's talk about Stellantis, aka Jeep, which is of course not the whole company, but still that's the important part for us. Jeep is laying off workers. So the company couldn't give details when the indefinite layoffs would start or state specific reasons for them. But a trade publication, Automotive News, reported Monday that Stellantis has laid off 199 full-time workers at its Ram pickup truck factory in Sterling Heights, Michigan, north of Detroit. I get the feeling from this story that the layoffs are going to be in the Michigan Michigan Detroit area, you know, the Ohio and that area. So this is just my opinion. I don't know this for sure because they're not giving a lot of information on this. I got to figure that. We were talking about EVs earlier. The Stellantis CEO, Tavares, had said that the company has to work on cutting costs globally in order to keep electric vehicles affordable for the middle class. Electric vehicles, he said, cost about 40% more than those powered by gasoline. Are you familiar with the term ICE, Jamie?
I am not.
That's internal combustion engine. So you may hear people talking about EVs or ICE vehicles, and internal combustion engines is what in other words, the stuff we all use. You need to get a few more animals in there. I saw a dog milling around, and I saw the cat.
Yeah, we've got four dogs, three cats, and she tends to think she's a puppy.
So. Oh, of course she does with all the dogs there.
At capacity.
Yeah, I just love dogs so much. But anyway, so this is what I was saying earlier about EVs being that you can't make any profit on it. And it surprises me there's a lot less parts in an electric vehicle, at least that's my understanding, than there is because, looking at your Jeep, all the parts, especially under the hood, there's just a huge number of parts there that have to be made, fitted, often by multiple manufacturers.
That's interesting that it's 40% more. Mm-hmm. So if the companies are losing money, their profits have shrunk. You know, and you're seeing, and it goes back to that whole thing. You're looking at the carbon footprint. Where's the value?
Let me ask you, what's your opinion on global warming, the carbon footprint thing? Is that something that you buy into? And I'm not saying it's like, drugs or anything like that. I'm just saying, is that something that you believe and there's something we need to do about it? You can say pass. You don't have to. You don't have to answer.
I'm going to pass on this one because I don't want to get in. I don't have a great way of answering.
No problem. I will tell you this: that I believe in a global climate change, but I do not believe that it is human created. I think it is a natural process because the sun has a lot more to do with our climate than what we'll ever have, unless we release 3,000 nuclear weapons. Then we could make a difference to the climate. Then.
I think the pollution has a big effect on everything. You know, like I'm just looking at my own health from when I was living in New York to now living in Pennsylvania and being in clear skies. There are no planes here. I have not had a plane fly over my house since I moved here. You know, I'm not in a fly zone, so I'm not seeing chemtrails. You know, where I used to be in Atlantic Beach, New York, to 10 minutes from Kennedy Airport. And the sky would be clear blue, and I'd watch the chemtrails go and watch the entire sky change. Mm-hmm. So I do think that all of this that we're producing and that we're putting out there is having a major effect.
Mm-hmm. So I disagree with the standpoint of as far as it changing the climate temperature. I don't know that that's what you're saying or not, but I don't think it has anything to do with that.
Burning holes in the atmosphere. you know, because of all this stuff that's being put, you know, we don't know what it's being done. You know, there's a lot of things that we're being given that there's no long-term testing to know what the damage is until it's too late.
Well, there is long-term testing. We're doing it and seeing what happens.
Yeah. Look at the jab.
Let's roll that dice. So let me ask you this. That kind of sounds like that you believe we ought to be, or that you should have an EV, because that way you're helping the climate.
No, I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, because of all the stuff that you have to do to make that electric vehicle. I'm not interested in an EV that has anything to do with the climate and making the climate better. I always like to say, especially on Earth Day, what's the Earth ever done for me? I don't need a special day for the Earth.
I wish I was able to get out on the trails for Earth Day, but I was stuck working.
That's right. You
know, I get to appreciate it every day.
They do that on purpose. Anyway, so I'm going to throw this at you. And this is actually a great question for you. You may have heard me talking about the Teamsters and unions, and especially when they were going after Stellantis, Ford, and trying to get more money. And I think they went a month or maybe longer, and then these companies caved. I wonder if the layoffs not only have to do with interest rates and slump in sales, the 10% lower now than what it was last year. I wonder if that has, I mean, certainly that's part of it, but I wonder if the other part of it is that they're having to spend so much more money for their workers that are in unions.
That's a good point. So that you know, that could make a lot of sense, because they were forced to come out of pocket for more money. Mm-hmm. And so let the dust settle, and then they're going to take their money back. They're not just giving money away. They're losing money on their cars. The profit margin has gone down. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? What's the easiest way to, you know, reclaim some of what they're paying out or what they're losing? Mm-hmm. You know, lay off some people.
So people don't seem to be thinking things through these days. And
do they ever?
Well, maybe they were just told no in the past. Like, for example, the $20 an hour for fast food workers in California. And now businesses are closing. People are getting fired. It almost seems like and I've said this before, we got politicians playing tic-tac-toe when they should be playing chess. And I think the same thing could be said for the unions. I mean, the unions work hard to get the workers more money, but surely they understand that if the company has to, they can just lay people off and wind up spending the same amount of money they were spending before. I mean, it's not that simple, of course, because you have to be able to make a product. But I bet you they can figure out a way to recoup those losses. And I wonder if that's what part of this is.
It's an interesting thing to think about. It's probably what I'm going to be thinking about most of the night now, Tony. Thanks.
Well, I mean, the union only is one part of the equation. And
right.
It's just like the $20 an hour for fast food workers. I mean, if you start paying $25 for a 3 or $4 hamburger, well, gee, you're subsidizing that $20 an hour. And now the people that are making, if so many people start making $20 an hour, then everything else goes up in price. And now that $20 an hour isn't worth $20. It may just be worth what the old minimum wage was. And that's the thing, that people don't seem to understand this. Fast food, a job at fast food is a gateway. It's to get you in the workforce. It's to give you experience. It's to allow you to get a better job, not stay in that job the rest of your life. But it seems people want to be able to stay in that job the rest of their life, which I'm sure they don't, but they just want to get paid more, not considering what's going to happen if everybody's making that kind of money.
Well, sure. You know, it's so coming from New York, my daughter at 17 years old was getting $14 an hour.
Wow.
Pennsylvania minimum wage, I think, is $7.25. Mm-hmm. So for her to take a job at a store, you know, she's working the same hours, but making half the money, you know, and you could compare the cost of living. Yeah, it's a little bit cheaper to live in Pennsylvania than it is in New York. But at $7.25 an hour, if that's what someone is truly making, because that's minimum wage and that's the starting at a job, mm-hmm. you know, and that's all that they're able to do. You know, it doesn't have to be their first job. They may just need a job.
Right.
what, you know, if you work 40 hours a week at $7.25 an hour, I mean, just doing the math alone on that,
it's about $15,000 a year.
40 times 7.25, they're making $290 a week. Mm-hmm. So times that by four, that's $1,160 a month. Where are you paying for, where are you getting rent, cell phone, food, gas to get to the job? You know,
this is a good question. I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with the Jeeps laying off workers, but it's a good question. Whose responsibility is it to be able to make that money and pay it? Is it the government's responsibility to make sure that you have a job that you can pay for those things? Or is it your responsibility to find a job to make the pay that you need to be able to pay for those things? And it may not be one job. It may be two jobs.
Well, I think the cost of living has just gotten so expensive that, you know, a lot of people don't have, you know, how many hours are there in a day for someone to work? You know, and if you have children, you know, and then you've got childcare on top of it, I think that things have just become, if the cost of living is going to come up so much, then minimum wage has to come up, you know, with it, so that people can balance out and be able to not live a lavish lifestyle, but to be able to live, mm-hmm. you know, without having
Well, that's a good point. What's a lavish lifestyle? What if you're a smoker? Would you consider that the $100, $200 a week a habit that you have, would that be considered lavish?
That's not a necessity.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So there's several, I think there's ways that you could look at this and say that many things aren't a necessity, but you feel like you're obliged to have them, like a cell phone. I mean, everybody has a cell phone. If you don't have a cell phone, you're nobody. I mean, there's homeless people with cell phones. But cell phones are expensive. So this is why I'm saying that what happens whenever you raise the minimum wage, yeah, you're helping people, but sometimes you're not, because there may be less jobs available. Companies may close, so there's fewer jobs. It's a very delicate balance, and I think that's what a lot of people are missing these days, especially with that $20 an hour thing in California for fast food. There's so many unintended consequences that go along with that. Anyway, I don't mean to argue the point of the thing. I don't see people thinking this thing through. They just say the government needs to mandate more money, more money, more money, more money. And it comes from somebody. It doesn't come from the government. It comes from us.
Right.
All right. So I told you about this earlier, Jamie. I found this really interesting. This just happened tonight. I was actually going to look up a recent Apple review for the show. And I got to say that the Apple reviews are usually 5 or 4 stars, and they enjoy the show. And, you know, a lot like what you talk about, the roundtable. Well, I received an email, and I think it was last Thursday's Flagship 2 episode, Tuesday flagship episode with Wendy, and then we even talked about it on the roundtable on Wednesday, which you were there, and I think you remember me talking about this. I think the question on the roundtable was, do you prepare for new terrain? And that preparation had to do with a video that I watched. It was a Bleeping Jeep video with Matt and his wife, and there was a landslide that occurred, and they chose to wait until the trail was clear. And I just didn't understand. It looked like something that, you know, a Jeep could do. And I wanted to ask people that knew about this, because I have no knowledge of any kind of mountain things or off-road for going over rock slides. I can well imagine they're dangerous, but that's the reason why I brought it up. Anyway, apparently a listener, and I think he's been a long-time listener, sent me an email. And now I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's rather long, but the email will be in its entirety in this episode 1024. Wow, 4 digits. I still can't get over that. For this episode 1024 at jeeptalkshow.com. All right, so I would like for all of you guys to let me know if you agree, disagree, or where you think I went wrong, like this listener did. All right, it starts off. This is pointed to me. It says, Tony, man, did I lose any type of respect for you? Did you know that Matt, I'm talking about Matt Bleeping Jeep, is a Texas native? Do you know where Matt does most of his off-roading? It's at Windrock, an off-road park. It's in the Cumberland Mountains. And he repeats, mountain, all capital letters with exclamation marks. skipping down a bit, it says, so you that has a whopping 4 off-road trips under your belt know more about what can be done with a Jeep off-road vehicle than a guy who has over 13 years of off-road experience like Matt does. Plus the fact that the other guy in the video who does this, some of the extreme wheeling said that they shouldn't go over, it gets trumped by your experience. In other words, it gets trumped by my experience. I don't have any experience. That's why I brought it up. Skipping down a bit further, it says, why don't you get Matt to do an interview with you? He is really a nice guy, and most call him the Mr. Rogers of off-roading. But you'll probably screw up that interview by stating wrong things about his channel like you did with Matt's off-road recovery. Man, That was embarrassing listening to it. I can't read either. So I'd like to know, and if you guys haven't listened to those episodes yet, go back and listen to one of the last 3 episodes. We talk about it in every one. And I thought I made it clear that I wasn't picking on Matt. I mean, I think I picked on Matt calling what we consider sleet down here in Texas. He was calling hail. But it was neither here nor there. But I was asking a legitimate question about whether or not this would be safe to go over. My gut was that it would be. But I probably wouldn't, because I've never been in that situation, and it'd be a hell of a time to find out I was wrong. Sliding down the, even if it was 20 feet off the road, it would still be a bad place to go. Jamie, do you do anything that has rock slides or high areas that... like a mountainous area? I don't know your area very good at all.
So I am in the mountains, and I have been to Windrock twice already. Windrock is slippery to begin. Every time I've been there, it rains. Mm-hmm. And that's a whole different type of mud than what I'm used to in the Northeast in Pennsylvania and New York. That's when that's wet, that clay dirt, that's just a slip and slide. We were going down just a straight flat trail, and we had a Jeep that slid off the trail. Mm-hmm. So if there was a rock slide, I'm waiting. If there's a barricade up, I'm waiting. You know, like, those are just things that I personally would not take a chance with. And the fact that I'm usually guiding, I wouldn't put someone else through that, because that's just that could be treacherous. You don't know what's... Just because it looks okay in front of you doesn't mean that, you know, 20 to 100 feet down that it's going to be safe. Mm-hmm. If you're stuck in the middle of that, you know, you're in deep doo-doo.
So my question is, isn't that wheeling in general? I mean, isn't it all a crapshoot? I mean, unless you've experienced it directly, isn't it all potentially dangerous?
It could be, but I think if you're at an off-road park, typically they're aware of what's going on the trails. You know, if a tree falls down, that's a different story. You know, most of us have, I always have a chainsaw in the back of my Jeep for just in case of emergencies like that. You know, and then you've got the winches and all of the recovery gear, mm-hmm, to be able to pull something out of the way. But a rock slide, I have yet to see one. I would probably, you know, like, I would freeze. You know, I'm just, that's like, going near an avalanche.
Well, that's why I was bringing it up, is because I saw that and I don't know anything about it. And I wanted to find out if anybody did. And we had 3 people in three different episodes, at least 3 people, state that they would not go over that. And that's all I wanted to know. I mean, that doesn't mean I'm just going to blatantly or just say, oh, okay, I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to ask more questions because I want to understand it. And apparently that isn't the right thing to do, that you shouldn't ask questions. but damn it, I want to continue asking them. So,
oh, of course. But I think it's also respecting where you are when there's a natural disaster going on. I mean, and that's truly a natural disaster. If you're having a rock slide, everything is unsteady. You don't know if the rocks that are coming from up top, like, what is that just done to the surface that you're on? Mm-hmm. You know, so. And then having people that are behind you, just because my Jeep is capable doesn't mean that Jeep number 3 or Jeep number 8 are going to be able to do whatever I've just done. Mm-hmm. So I know we were talking about, you know, going on wet shale and things like that. Like, there are things that you've got to be real careful with, you know, because it's not just you. You know, if you want to be silly and take that chance, that's fine. I don't I'm not a risk taker like that. I want to A, drive my Jeep home. I have on my dashboard the decal that says, but did you die? So that answer would resolutely, I'd like that to stay, is no.
Right.
And then I've got some that have, remember, you've got to drive this home, stupid.
Yeah, I love
so
that.
So I keep those things in mind, because the last thing I want someone to say is, oh, girls play off-road, what they just took us through. I'm never, and I don't want to ruin the experience for someone. I'd rather you enjoy it, be empowered, be a little educated, even a little too educated sometimes, absolutely entertained, but not hate what you've just done.
Right. Yep. Well, I'm going to continue to ask these questions. And apparently it was a really good question, because it stirred up a lot of comment, and we got this great feedback, which I really appreciate. We love feedback here. It can be good feedback. It can be bad feedback. And I'm not saying bad that it wasn't right. I'm just saying it's more of a negative nature. And that's great. We read it all. We play it all. So if you got a voicemail you want to call in and call me a dumbass, that's fine. In fact, when I responded to this gentleman, the first thing I responded to was, man, did I just lose any type of respect for you? And I told him that, well, it was bound to happen sooner or later. So
I think that you should invite him to a round table.
Oh, he's always invited. I mean, everybody's invited to come in there and just tell me how wrong I am.
That would be for an interesting night.
All right, Jamie. So I mentioned this to you earlier. Realtruck.com is talking about Jeep badges of honor. Have you heard about Jeep badges of honor, Jamie?
I have quite a few of them.
Thank
you. My dog just ate one that was sitting on my desk.
Oh, no. Is this like eating your homework type thing? Is it a trail you didn't actually go on and now you can't claim that you did?
No, I actually did it. So now I'm going to have to go back to the trail to do it.
You got to feed those dogs. So if you've spent as much time around within the Jeep community, you likely become accustomed to Jeep badges of honor. Or even if you weren't sure what the decals symbolize, you are likely familiar with their form, an octagonal badge featuring trail name, trail outline, and a Jeep official badge of honor inscribed on their face. So, and Jamie, I know you know this, the Jeep badge of honor program is entirely free from signing up to ordering the physical badges, which I think is really cool. And that's something that I believe that Jeep actually sponsors. So Jeep is footing the bill on this.
There is an app that you would download onto your phone. And so when you're at a location, you check in, you need to have your VIN number available. And I was told it's not a VIN number, it's your VIN.
Because the N part is number, yeah.
Yeah. It was a whole big battle with a friend of mine. And we're like,
vehicle identification number is what you're saying.
Right. Yeah. And she was like, no, it's not VIN number. It's just.
Well, it's the same thing with the check engine light. The cell light.
Yeah. So you get onto the trail, or you're near close enough to it, and you're able to check in. And once you complete it, then they are so nice and they send you a little package, and it's got your badge in it. That they are next to they're on the side of my side fender, I guess, by my driver's door.
Mm-hmm. And on the outside, right?
There. Yep. And then I just saw someone the other day, I think it was Terry Pritchard with Oracle, who has them on the back of his Jeep by next to the door handle on his tailgate. And it looks super cool back there. I was following behind him and thought that looked amazing. So there's everyone's got a different place to do it. Some people just, it's like a duck. They get it. They put it somewhere else that they don't want anyone to see. But, it's an accomplishment. The trails are rated different scales. And so which ones are easier. Roush Creek has three different. So you've got Trail 11, which is the easiest. Then you've got Crawler Ridge, which is moderate, which is like a blue trail. And then you've got Crawl Daddy, which is a black or a red. And so this way, there's something for everybody.
So, Jamie, let me ask you, do you know how many honor badges I have?
I'm going to go with one.
Four, just like the email before that I was reading, because I've been to four off-road places. I'm joking. I think I got more than four. I got them still in the little bags, and they're pinned to the wall over here, so I don't lose them. Jamie, that was great information. I also, too, in the article, the blog article for Realtruck.com, they say currently the Badge of Honor program comprises 68 trails across 25 states. 68 trails, 68 honor badges. That's a lot of real estate if you're sticking them on your Jeep. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying that's a lot. It's going to look like one of those third world generals that have all the all the stuff all over them, yeah, dragging on the ground. But it is something. It is an accomplishment, and there's nothing wrong with having a little award for the accomplishment. And it's not a participation award. It isn't just that you went there. It's that you went down the trail and you conquered the trail.
Right. So great thing is, you know, as we were talking about it last week, so with Jeep Talk Show and Girls Play Off-Road, we are going to organize a trip to Winrock next August. And there are three trail badges of honor. There are three badge of honors there. So that's an awesome thing for any of our listeners. And Girls Play Off-Road, we've got our Roush event. We've got a newbie day, August 10th. So badges can be earned there. And October 3rd to the 6th, we're doing a URI run. There's two badges there. And May 4th, we're doing Peters Mills in Virginia. And that's the easiest one.
Very cool. So all you need to do is just go over to Facebook and look for Girls Play Off-Road, and you can get all that information. Also, you can get more information about the Badge of Honor at realtruck.com/blog. Just look for What Are Jeep Badges of Honor? Again, realtruck.com.
Gladiator.
My name is Gladiator.
Gladiators.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
All right, that's enough of that. It goes on for a long time. So recently, Jeep Talk Show team member Chris purchased a 2020 Jeep Gladiator. And I told him if he puts the 4-foot by 4-foot Jeep Talk Show logo on it, we'll start calling it the 2020 Jeep Talk Show Gladiator. But I digress. He has factory tires. I believe they're factory. They may be new tires, but they look like factory tires. And he desperately wants to get something bigger, like a 33 or maybe a 35 AT or mud terrain maximum traction. And he's counting his pennies like we all do. And he's trying to see how much it's going to cost him for wheels and tires. So he was checking with me because he didn't think that I bought any wheels for my Gladiator. He thinks that I just put the 35s on it, and that is correct, because I actually saw a YouTube video by TFL, and I forget what TFL stands for, but you guys have seen their YouTube videos. They do really good YouTube videos. But I saw this video where they had bought, I think it was a 2020 Gladiator, and they were trying to get it set up for off-road use, and they went a really unusual way with the wheels. They decided they were going to get the same wheel that's used for the spare tire. It's a very plain steel wheel and inexpensive. And I believe that the spare, well, I mean, it has to be, the spare on the Gladiator is 7.5 inches by 17 inches. And they put 35, 12 and a half, 17s on it. So that's what I did. I didn't have to buy any wheels. I just used the aluminum wheels that came with my Gladiator. And Chris was asking about this, and he was pretty happy to find out that I didn't have to use spacers. I just put the tires on it. And I mean, it's been to Hidden Falls Adventure Park several times. It's been to two trips to Moab. The first time I actually took it off road, the second time, not so much. I was using it mainly to get around to talk to people and interview them this year. But but I had no problems with it. I have no rubbing, lock to lock. It's just fine. So if you have a Gladiator or maybe even a JL or a JLU and you want to get bigger tires, but you do not want to have to spend money for wheels. Jamie, have you bought wheels for your Jeep? Do you know how expensive those things are?
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah.
We put on a pair of, I've got black Rhinos and with Nittos. I'm running the Ridge Grappler. No, Trail Grapplers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the black Rhinos. I've eyeballed those, but my God, they're like $300 to $500 a piece. And I'm sure they're worth it, but I think that the aluminum wheels I got from Jeep, which look perfectly fine, they're black. I just saw it on the sheet earlier. They were $195. or four of them.
I have for my spare set of wheels is actually on stock Jeep rims. I like the Jeep rims. I like the way they look. Mm-hmm. But yes, the Nittos are the Black Rhinos are expensive, but I have beat them up. I've got a 2014 with 230,000 miles on it, and nice. I wheel constantly. And they hold up. They're fantastic.
Yeah, Jeep usually builds pretty good stuff. So anyway, maybe you can do this, save a little money, and you can always get wheels later, right?
From the mind of Nikki G.
Hey, this is Nikki G. Just caught episode 1018, where you talked about spotters and hand signals and the importance of it. And I can't tell you enough how important it is to get with your spotters and drivers and come to agree on hand signals. Some hand signals mean different things to other people. The hand signal I seem to get a lot from my spotter is they just put their palm over their face and just shake their head back and forth. Yeah, I don't know what that means, but I see it a lot. Not why I'm calling. I'm calling to tell you that in the creation of Earth, God said, good, obedient wives will be found in all corners of the Earth. Yeah, and then he made the world round. All right, boys and girls, I'll chat at you later, and you have a good one. Bye.
You know, I always say, my wife will say, God is going to get you. I say, hey, God has a sense of humor. Look around. So he enjoys a good joke. So that's Nikki G. You asked who Nikki G was. I can't believe you had to ask who Nikki G was. He's a staple here on the flagship episodes.
I don't know. Like, wow. That was awesome. But he had a great point, though, because the hand signals and the communication between a spotter and a driver are so important. I had someone when I first started Girls Play at AOAA, which became Girls Play Off-Road, I had someone who drives a CJ guiding me up a blue trail. And he's telling me, go right, go right, go right. And I'm like, wait a second. You know, and it was, he actually wanted me to go left. He wasn't thinking about which way. I'm used to hand signals. Show me which way or driver passenger.
Yeah, driver passenger. Who's left? Who's right? Yeah, you know.
You know, and I learned when I started with Northeast Off-Road Adventures, when they taught us, it was, I'm going to focus on you. I'm focusing on my spotter. I don't care what's around me. It all goes invisible. I'm just looking, and whatever your hands tell me to do, without you even speaking, that's exactly how I'm going to react with my steering wheel and my gas pedal. So, yeah, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. That's...
Yeah. Well, the face palm. I've never gotten the face palm. I've only had one. Well, no, I've had more than one spotter, but Wendy actually spotted me whenever I was... that's five off-road places that I've been. Because I've been to John Bull. But it was in a rented Jeep, so I don't know if that still counts.
Where's John Bull?
In California, Big Bear Lake, California. Oh, God, absolutely beautiful there. It's a different kind of beautiful than Moab. Have you been to Moab?
I have not yet. Oh, I think 2026, we're planning that. So, Tony, you have been in Texas. You have been to Moab. You've been heading west. When are you going to come east?
When it gets closer.
You're such a wise.
It's the same thing I say about golf. When they air condition the golf, I'll play golf because that looks like a fun game. I can play golf on my phone, which is, it's air conditioned, so I like that. All right, so coming up in our next interview episode, you know, we have an interview every Friday. It's going to be David Adams, the Gimpy Jeep guy. He is in a wheelchair, and he goes off-roading more than I do, more than I could probably ever do. And Greg Henderson from Unofficial Use Only built him it's not a panel van. We talk about this in the interview. It's a little bitty Jeep that was made for the Postal Service, and they only made about 11,000 of them. It is the coolest Jeep I think you will ever see. Greg was building this thing up for him, and now it's been moved on on to for the handicap controls to be put into it. So I'm really looking forward to seeing this. I'm actually following David Adams on Facebook, the Gimpy Jeep guy, so I can watch updates of this van as it gets ready to go and painted and stuff. I think it's just this tiny little Jeep, but it's a van because it was like a postal van. But it's tiny.
So cool.
It is very cool.
Now I'm going to have to go follow him.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds really neat.
Great interview. Fun guy. The Gimpy Jeep guy. Good. He and Greg Henderson are real good friends. And actually, that's the reason why he was on the show is because Greg told him that he'd do the show. So when Greg Sockett shit about me in the show, don't believe it. He likes the show. And he tells people to be on it. All right, for your must-have stuff for your Jeep, Jamie, you got to get one of these. The E50 Fire Extinguisher Stick, I don't know what this is, 40050, probably a part number, 50-second discharge, no maintenance. Let me repeat that, no maintenance. So this is a fire extinguisher. It's not a metal tank. It's like a plastic cardboard tube, and you pull off the end. You use it as a striker to start a fire, basically. I know, this sounds funny, starting a fire to put out
a fire.
It's
like a Roman candle fire extinguisher?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. It's relatively good, a good size, like a flashlight, one of the D-size flashlights. But it's very light compared to a standard tank fire extinguisher. So you set this thing off, and it's going to put out gases that will stop the fire from burning. You just point it at the fire in its general direction, and it kind of works on it, I think, electrically, almost on the molecular scale or something. I don't know what I'm talking about. And it puts the fire out. And the cool thing is, you're not going to get a standard fire extinguisher, that's going to be able to run for 50 seconds. I mean, if it was big enough, I guess you could. But generally speaking, it's not going to be the one you have in your Jeep. So this thing is great. You can get it at Amazon. We actually have a link to Amazon here in our show notes for episode 1026. I know in the past we've had people go, I don't know where the show notes are. Go to jeeptalkshow.com and then look for episode 1026. Click on that, and then you'll see the show notes, and this will be in there, and there'll be a link that you can click that takes you to Amazon so that you can buy one of these things. But it's the world's smallest and longest lasting fire extinguisher. It's been internationally tested and certified for A, B, C, and K fire classes. And it discharges for 50 seconds, five times longer than traditional extinguishers, fights all major fire classes, including cooking oil and grease fires. I mean, that's one of the things that you always have a problem with a vehicle fire, is that if that oil catches fire and you spray something on it, you're just going to spread the fire around. Same thing in the kitchen. You can use this in the house as well. So no mess, no residue, non-toxic, non-corrosive, environmentally friendly, and safe to breathe. It's a great product. I very highly recommend getting this. I'm a cheap bastard, and I never wanted to get a fire extinguisher because they expire. This thing takes a long, long time to expire. They just fall short of saying it never expires, because you really can't say that, you know. But this is something you can put in your Jeep and in your car, your wife's car, everything else. They're easy to use. I highly recommend it. I need to buy one, but they are $90, so I haven't gotten one yet. So did I convince you, Jamie? Are you going to get one of these?
I'm definitely going to check it out. It looks cool. And it's pretty interesting that it covers all of those fires.
And the other neat thing is that this is like a fire, like a flashlight, a big flashlight. So you literally could just sit it down there next to your seat in the front seat, you know, right there between the where you get in, that area, right there. So all you have to do is reach down and pick it up, and now you got it. You don't have to go to the back. You don't have to unclip something, the big tank, and then remember how to turn it on. Right. The fire is going to be put out quicker the quicker you can get to your fire extinguisher.
What happens though if you're not by your Jeep and it goes on fire?
Is this that joke about do you smoke after sex, and you say, I don't know, I never looked? Is that the fire extinguisher you need?
I never heard that.
You never heard that one? That's an old one. You know, it's always a little sad when we hit the end of the trail, but there's always another trail ride just down the road. Jeep Talk Show has 4 episodes a week, Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe and never miss an episode. And speaking of subscribing, consider keeping the Jeep Talk Show on the air by subscribing to the Jeep Talk Show via Patreon. The place to go for all information on how to subscribe and how to contact us is at jeeptalkshow.com/contact. Jamie, have you ever gone to jeeptalkshow.com/contact?
I have.
Oh, cool. I don't think anybody does.
I have. I check you out. I've stalked your page a little bit.
Excellent. So so we'll make a little announcement here. Jamie has agreed to help us out with the Chick Chat episodes. We are aiming towards having a Chick Chat episode every Monday. That would be Julianne and Wendy and Jamie, you. And do you have somebody picked out with you, or is it going to be an alternating person?
I think we're going to do an alternating. We've got Marissa Sturzoy, who is the owner of Gulf Coast Jeep Outfitters. And we also have Mary Burns from Sure Shot Photography, who's also a major wheeler. So, and then I've got my whole team. So we'll make this interesting.
Excellent.
You're going to teach me how to do this. So I'll follow in your footsteps, Tom.
You did just fine. You talk as much as Chip does, and that makes the show real easy to do. And if you have a way of talking and relating stories, that's all you really have to do to be successful. So I think you're going to do just fine.
I'm excited.
All right, Jamie, have a great night. Thank you so much for subbing in here for us. We love our guest host, and we'll have to have you back on here. You're going to get sick of doing the show with the Chick Chat and guest hosting and all the rest of the stuff.
It's always a fun time with you, Tony.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Broadcasting since 2010.